What would you typecast me as?
I could see you being like a roommate or
an extra. Background
PE coach.
PE coach.
PE coach for sure. Or like a camp person.
Oh, camp counselor. Camp counselor.
Or a ropes course gal.
At least I'm not the fucking bus driver.
Or a mechanic. Oh, you could be a mechanic.
Yeah. Mercenary type. You could probably pull like mercenary type off.
I like that one.
Mercenary?
Yeah. Yeah. Like when they show like the montage of like soldiers like loading guns packing gear and stuff.
What is the one that shoots the big ballistics? What is that called?
Field artillery.
Yeah.
That's what I was attached to in the
shells,
army.
Really?
Yeah. Field artillery.
1/6 FA. Eileen Wuornos.
Huh?
Oh man, that was brutal. She's a serial killer. The Charlize Theron played her.
Oh. Hold it up.
God damn it.
Monster? Is that the movie?
Oh, yeah. It's such a good roast, too, and somebody else has to explain how you were just roasted.
Oh, fucking
you,
God.
You look like the ugliest serial killer of all time.
I think I'm going to quit, guys.
Let's do it.
You look like the furthest Charlize would go. You're very pretty, by the way. No, I'm not. You really are.
I will never see myself as pretty.
And that's why
you're
that's
both
part
a,
of
you're
it.
Both,
part
you're
of
both
it.
A very attractive person and Rosie O'Donnell's.
Yes. Yeah. You are the duality of woman, really.
What in tarnation?
Upcoming dates: April 18th, Dallas, Texas. April 19th, San Antonio, Texas. Two shows. The early show is getting close to selling out, so get those tickets fast. April 20th, 420 Oklahoma City, the Pharmacy Dispensary. 421 Nashville, Tennessee, right here. The Lab at Zany's, the brand new room that opens April 10th. April 21st, Nashville Comedy Festival. Me and Jake are doing our live crowd work Shake and Jake show in that room. And again, tickets are going hella fast. All of my tickets are going fast. Then 424 Zany's Chicago. May 3rd, Gig Harbor, Washington. May the 4th be with us in Portland, Oregon at Rip City Comedy Festival. That show, general admission tickets already sold out. They added 25 more, so there are less than 25 general admission tickets left. And then after that, the only tickets left are the VIP tickets, but the VIP tickets give you passes for the entire weekend of the festival. So get those tickets now. Also, just added June 27th, 28th, 29th, Tulsa, Oklahoma at Looney Bin. Fuck. April 27th through 29th, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Looney Bin Comedy Club. Get your tickets, ajwilkerson.com.
Grandpa Bar every Friday in Nashville, 6 p.m.
Question for you. Mm-hmm. Do you believe in ghosts?
Ooh.
Yeah, I think I do.
You do?
You do?
Yeah.
Why?
So this is a weird story. It's going to seem crazy. But this guy was filming some stuff, some stand-up for me. I found him off of Craigslist. And
where you find all the great videographers. Right.
His name Diddy?
Inexpensive. Soul.
And he asked if I'd do like his ghost hunting show. That was part of
the agreement, the swap.
So I go to do his ghost hunting show, and he takes me in the bottom of this basement. This is like a guy I met on the internet. Yeah. And he's like, we're not doing ghost hunting. You're going to do stand-up for ghosts. And he had all this.
That sounds like a trap.
Yeah, it was horrifying. I thought I was going to die.
Didn't Demi Lovato do that? She performed. She sung for ghosts. She did. Look it up. Pull it up.
But he set up all these lights
and
stuff.
Who bought tickets?
It was for the ghost.
Yeah, but who
paid for the show.
She all just did her it.
Abortion. I don't know her.
No. That's what she paid to be there.
That's who she was performing for.
She you makes her own
hell?
Ghosts.
You went to hell. Yeah. You went to do a comedy show at your ghost basement.
No, I was saying she makes her own ghosts.
Oh yeah, she's a ghost factory. Uh-huh. That one.
Yeah. I mean, so they had these flashlights set up that would go off if the ghosts were around, and they had this like voice recorder.
That's not real.
Yeah. I don't know. I was killing, so I'll take
it. It was just going off.
Yeah. I was doing some crowd work with ghosts. Having a hard time.
Yo, that's hilarious.
That's impossible.
What up, ghosts? It's me, your boy.
So how long have you two been dead? So you really performed for ghosts?
Yeah, I think it's on YouTube somewhere. I haven't had the heart to watch it.
There's what no a dead one crowd, dude.
Yeah.
There's no one in the audience at all besides the fucking
the videographer guy that's was going to kill me if I didn't do it. But yeah.
That feels like you were bullied into this show.
Yeah, him and his wife were the ones that were going to take me on this ghost tour. Should have seen it coming, but
yeah. It's fine. You know? What are their fucking absolute psychopaths doing now?
I don't know. Catch up with them. What you up to? Want to do another one?
They were at Diddy's place.
Dude, that is hilarious. You just did crowd work for ghosts.
Yeah, this is during the pandemic too. So,
people
were. Yeah, I'll do a show. However,
dude. So you did Zoom comedy?
Japanese tragedy.
Basically, a Zoom show. I made a joke to the ghosts that people were doing those headlight shows. Like with the drive-ins, flash the headlights. I was doing the same thing.
Did it? Did they flash?
You could have the ghosts flicker the lights at you, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's wait. Did you?
Oh, you guys really like that one. Yeah. All right, cool.
When you agreed, did you think there won't be people?
I don't know. You get in those spooky situations, and you're like, I'm more willing to believe something if I'm in the spooky situation. Mm. Like I used to not believe. And ghosts really, but then you go like on a ghost hunt and you're just like in this spooky situation.
Really?
And like you start making things up.
Really? So you believe in ghosts?
If a situation becomes real life scary enough, your brain resorts to confirmation bias and it was like, no, this is actually scary because this, and this.
Yeah, that's how I got all those flashlights to go off, dude. All
right, well, let's fucking summon a ghost. Hello, any ghosts out there? Ghosts, get in touch with us.
I mean, I posted a special and a school, college, canceled my show at their event and my show. So technically, we don't need to summon a ghost, dude. My career is right here.
Kaylee, text me back.
Apparently, that bitch dead.
They canceled it after they watched your special.
No, tell them the story. Well,
okay, so what my I think we're still Patreon. College, so what my college manager said. Was
yeah, that didn't go over.
Some of the students watched some of your videos online.
Oh no.
And decided that they didn't want to support your event.
You need to tell them, suck my autistic dick.
And here's the thing. They didn't specifically say that's because of my special, but I got that phone call the day after I released my special.
Huh.
So.
Yeah, that's the opposite of what they should.
What a stupid thing. What a dumb thing.
I know.
What
did they say? Especially because it's already under contract, so they still have to pay me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they're paying you and you don't have to do the gig?
Yeah.
Dude.
I know, dude. The best.
It's a free vacation.
This is what happens when you cancel comedians.
Yeah.
They grow stronger.
We grow stronger.
It's like the Hydra.
It's basically PTO.
Yeah.
You just get paid time off.
I won't name the school because I don't want to give them any free publicity. But yeah, basically a community college in Indiana. Their students were like, we can't support this kind of comedy about mental health. And it was like, dude.
Was it the students? I thought it was.
They said it was the students, but a lady that works at that school did come to the shows in Fort Wayne. The exact show that I posted. Like my special is of.
Mm-hmm. Your comedy is so self-selecting. Like over time, it naturally curates your audience.
Yeah.
Like I posted, there was this girl I was kind of talking to.
That's what
bit.
All comedy is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's.
You're supposed to figure out how to write funny. And it's like, this is how I can be funny you. in general, and then you find your voice, and the people from the general that find you funny that also stay. Love your voice and yeah. tone are who.
But
find
it's kind
you.
Of a painful process of like going through those types of experiences. I've had a girl that was like,
"Oh yeah,"
I posted her joke, and she was like, she just gave me a sad face emoji, and I was like, "What?" She goes, "Your joke hurt my feelings," and I was like, "What are you talking about?" Oh, wow. And then that's I explained wild. It. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, can't imagine why they would do that though. I'm like trying to. I just watched. Like most of your special on the way here, and I'm like trying to think clean. Of the material.
You're not yeah. clean though,
dude. I had a whole conference call with the school, and my college like manager agent people, because they were concerned about my use of the R word.
Oh.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I have a podcast called What in Tardation.
I mean, you have a joke about it, but you can say that word. Like,
And that's the thing is I was like, and they're like, well, we're just concerned, you know, about your use of the word. And I was like, well, that's kind of why you need me to come and say the word.
Yeah.
Right. Can. It's because it's in conjunction with like their autistic student union.
Uh huh. Oh, they're the ones that rejected you.
Yeah.
The how union retarded. Of
autistic well, well people. One at all. At all it takes with the colleges is one. Right, it takes one person to like be upset and complain, and then everybody's yeah, like, "Oh, well, we don't, you know."
Oh, blah, I blah, thought blah. You meant the autism club was just one person.
AJ's that would be hilarious.
It's just AJ yeah. being like, "I object," just so he gets out of the gig. Yeah, I don't like that.
That would be hilarious. I'm enrolling, joining the club, and immediately requesting a vote
just yeah. to get paid to not do the gig.
That would be hilarious,
dude. What a fucking vibe.
What were you saying to them, though, about the...
Oh, yeah, during the conference call, they were like, you know, well, we're concerned about this, and, you know, some of these kids have been bullied by this word. And I was like, you mm-hmm. realize I was one of the kids that was bullied by this word.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using it as a way to, like, take the word back. Like, I literally call it R, hard R. Like, and saying, like, we are the only class of people that should say that word.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing. That's a thing. I think you should hear at colleges, you know. And the other part of that is like, I was like, these kids need to understand, or you need to understand as the faculty, and these kids are going to need to understand that like they're not children anymore, and they might be in college, and college in itself is kind of a bubble, but that bubble exists now in the bubble of the real world,
right.
And that's part of what college is supposed to do is slowly expose you to what the real world is like, and educate you on that real world. And you don't think people are going to use that word in the real world?
Yeah, that's
you don't think like as an autistic student, you don't think at the gas station somebody's going to be like, "What's wrong with you? Like, what's wrong with this kid? Like, what are you retarded?" Like, yeah. But and you don't think hearing a comedian who has the same grew up with like dealing with those same situations, how they handle it might help you prepare for how you handle it
it's
in
like
the real world.
It's like how gay people say the F word. It's very similar to that.
Yeah. Or, like, exactly.
It's a great punchline. It's a great spice, and it might be triggering to some people, but it's also cathartic to a lot of other people.
Exactly.
You have to allow that to breathe, yeah. I feel like.
Bottom line is you can't tell people how they get to speak about their like real experience, world experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
So
I could see that kind of lesson being at a college. You know, you should teach a class or do the commencement address just about the R word.
Yeah. I feel like college
just call it special ed.
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations, class of 2004. I just want to be the first to call you retarded.
Woo! Woo! You may now flip your tassel.
The wrong time.
Welcome to the real world. You guys got a piece of paper that don't mean shit out here. You're all dumb.
Yeah, it is.
What a commencement speech, dude.
That'd be cool. I'd watch it.
Hell yeah. I'd give the Bill Burr roasting Philadelphia of commencement speeches.
Just like how they tell their parents or their grandparents, how's your commencement? It was interesting.
Yeah.
We learned a lot about the R word.
Yeah. He swore. I was hoping, yeah. He swore a lot.
He can't give me life advice, but.
Yeah. What's that?
People will describe
lesbian.
My commencement speech the same way Forrest Gump described that dude that spoke before him at the Washington Monument.
He would articulate.
Sure, they'd use a lot of bad words. That fella short word.
He sure didn't talk bad.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
That is interesting. The idea, though, of the audience slowly honing in on you, because in a way you're slowly honing in on you.
Yeah.
Because if you come out straight out all out the whole fucking way out, I feel like people would gravitate to that. But it's like it's a process. You're slowly filtering and curating and learning and evolving. And I don't think you should take it personally if like your audience, like if some people object to it. It's like, of course, like,
yeah, not everyone.
I took a girl to a fucking open mic and did my set, and then she was like, yeah, I don't think I want to hang out anymore. And I was like, that makes sense.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But she'd been in my DM since. But you know what I'm saying? Like it's just, that's just
she
the
got
nature
the
of things.
Jokes on the car ride home.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, we had a great time, but like,
she got the jokes 5 months people, later when yeah. she slid back in his DMs.
Yeah. Jokes on me, but I think people have to filter through what you present and what they feel to be is rightness in society, because there's an immense pressure on rightness in society that can make people almost like hesitant to give in to the humor of it. It's like so serious that they don't laugh. But you know,
but there's a reason why there's an entire category of comedy called irreverent comedy.
Yes,
it's supposed to be irreverent. It's supposed to snub its nose at what society thinks is okay.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm. Bootlicking college kids.
That's fucking
trying to suck up to their professors.
Yeah,
I don't even think it was a kid. I think it was that lady.
Probably.
No, right, but that's my point, is like, how does society not understand that it is an art form? Like, by and large, as a whole, why do they not
comedy
understand
that?
Comedy
fans do, but a lot of comedy happens in front of people who aren't comedy fans, and they're the ones talking about it. I was like, did you see Louis C.K. do that bullshit? And
right,
it's like,
but
dude, it's Louis C.K. working shit
But
out.
It's the same thing with, like, movie fans. Like, fans of movies, people who love the cinema, people who blah, blah, blah. Like, they, like, understand that, like, movies are art. But so does the person who doesn't own a TV. Like, both of those people understand that if Leonardo DiCaprio says the N-word 4 times in Django, that it's part of what he's saying in the context of what is happening during the production of an art form.
And also a bucket list, personally, for Leo, I think.
Yeah, he may have gotten too comfortable with it. You know what I mean?
That he's like, I may not have an Oscar, but...
Yeah. That's one of the things he...
No. Actually,
I hold the Guinness World Record.
No, there's like a legit, like a real, like, published, like, article, like, story about... that on the set of the movie, like the first couple of takes, Leo couldn't say it, and Samuel L. Jackson had to like pull him to the side and be like,
"Motherfucker,
yeah, motherfucker, say it." Like, you think I'm gonna be upset here and the N word? He's like, "This is just a Tuesday, or whatever." Like,
I swear to God.
So I don't like Leo. Definitely a pedophile, but not a racist. Do you know?
Yeah. Allegedly.
Oh, sorry, not pedophile. Definitely a predator.
There we go.
But not a racist, you know?
Mm.
What were you saying?
I forget.
He should date 21 Savage.
I forget. Yeah, it was about Leo. It was about something about Leo.
He should date 21 Savage.
No, you got it. Bring it back.
Hang on.
They'll be 21 forever.
It was kids.
Leo, Django, saying the swear words, getting to say it, Guinness World Records.
Samuel L. Jackson.
How cool that is. Samuel. Oh, yes, I'm back. So I had a black friend of mine, like we were both drunk at a bar, and he pulled me in and he goes, say it.
What?
And I swear to God, I did.
Oh,
no. I did it. But my point is though, like Leo's moment with Samuel L. Jackson where he pulls him in and he goes, it's like Robert Downey Jr. in blackface being like, it's whatever that feeling is where you're just part of it for a moment.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, because he said it with conviction and you can only do that when you're comfortable.
Yeah, we'll keep that in on the Patreon.
No, I didn't say it, stupid.
You were bullied into it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was an invitation to the cookout.
Yeah, they really twisted his arm. Yeah.
It was an invitation to the cookout.
Now that was your test.
He remembers it differently. He's like, yeah. I didn't ask him at all. He's like, well, yeah,
he's
started
like,
yelling
he's like, he's like, I need you to say it because I need to hear how you say it.
Well, I'm not.
That'll
angry.
Tell me everything I ever need to know about you as a person.
It's like, no, I only say it when I'm mad. I couldn't possibly.
That's why he needed to know how you say it.
I'm going to need you to cut me off in traffic right now.
Hey, keep it down.
Oh, my God. Woo! Thomas was at a plantation today.
Oh, I really? Was. I think that's why I'm so spicy. The ghosts. Oh, man. Andrew Jackson gave me a plug.
Do you think that's awkward? The ghost slave owner relationship now that they're ghosts.
Yeah, I bet the bet the slaves bully the fuck out of the slave owner.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Because there's more of awesome. Them.
During a roast battle once. I said that someone looked like the ghost of the Civil War general that writes all of Ted Nugent's tweets.
Yep.
Ted just Ted. That's like diss on Ted Nugent.
Yeah. Why not?
I love that.
In Civil War.
Yeah. Yeah. Generals. Equally bad.
What plantation did you go to?
Andrew Jackson.
Oh, Andrew Jackson.
I was
going to
say Ted Nugent.
Same. Ted Nugent is just it's just Andrew Jackson with adrenochrome.
And a guitar.
He had time to pick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Andrew Jackson. I don't know anything about him. I was just there to drink. It was ladies' night at the winery. Then I made friends with these people that work at the winery, and they're always like, we're not busy, come by. And they just pour me wine, so I just sit there and chat. I've gotten quite the tea on a couple relationships.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah, it's fun. It's very fun. I like being one of the gals a little bit sometimes. Mm. You know, like as a married man, if you're
well,
ever
now
around,
you're a daughter of... daughter
of anarchy? What are you
you're
saying?
You're daughter of the Civil War, dude. Yeah. Like, that's fucking... Yeah. You're part of the tea club,
I just
but
hear
not
Andrew Jackson
one.
Whispering, fag.
I'm like, what? I'm no, just... what is it? What is that club? Like, Daughters of the American Revolution?
Yeah.
Or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I could really rally those ladies.
And you also have gangrene.
What?
Right?
I told you that in confidence. I do have gangrene.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. It's slowly growing. I got it at this apartment, actually. I don't have gangrene. Why would you say that? What the fuck, Alex? I don't have gangrene.
Your chops.
You have gangrene? Is that what you want to say?
What is gangrene?
Gangrene is what happens when you're poor.
I just picture Captain Planet.
No, that's Captain Pollution.
Captain Gay and Captain
Green. I always picture the Big Green.
Oh, that movie was very good.
That movie ripped.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
It's that chubby freckled kid.
From The Sandlot.
Okay, I know what that
but
is.
But it's a movie about kids soccer.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate
you
soccer.
You almost think there'll be a dog in it, but there's no dog. Have you seen The Big Green?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
I know.
What?
Not to Classic. Expect
We're
a dog.
We're on the outside over here.
No dog.
Oh,
no
it's
dog.
So good.
No diggity.
It's the Mighty Ducks for soccer kids.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I never got into the Mighty Ducks. I was never a hockey.
Oh.
Is there like a fat kid on the cover?
Yes.
Like
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Freckles. Yeah.
The
freckle
fat freckled
kid.
Oh, okay.
With
it's
red,
the freckled
slightly
I know
red
the
hair.
The VHS cover.
The Great Bambino
cover.
Kid.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Green. Yeah. The Great Bambino. Sandlot.
Dude, these are fucking wild.
Yeah, I think I'm a little messed up
I'm
off
a
of these
little
THC
fucking
beverages,
ripped, dog.
Dude.
I'm
I love it.
Fucking
we can go anywhere we want to go.
This has THC.
Oh, can I tell y'all? Yeah, you're high.
Oh, no.
Can I tell y'all a dream I had that I'm trying to figure out in real life?
Ooh,
I had this
yeah.
dream last night, and I usually don't dream because of how much I smoke. But I had this dream. I had Taco Bell, and I think when I eat Taco Bell, I do dream. But I had this dream that I was in a cabin and there was a guy that was visiting who was a stranger and he was just in the cabin and then all of a sudden he had a body, a dead body, and he had it like on this altar and I had to like hide behind like the woodshed and just watch him and I was like, I have to get this body out of here and find a way back to like the police. And then that guy turned into my dad and my brother was there. And then I woke up.
Thomas, I think based on the content of your dream and your body at the time of it, I think your dreams are made of farts. Did I think? Because you're like, I only dream when I'm drinking or I eat Taco Bell. Yeah, and it's like, well, that's a red flag. Dream
if you eat the chicken gordita crunch.
Dude, they got a new chicken burrito that's very good. But it was the type of dream, though, and I hate how morbid it is and it doesn't resolve, but... It was the type of dream where I kept going back to sleep because I wanted to finish it. I wanted to, like, a really good book almost. Yeah. Where you're like, where does this go? What is this?
Yeah. Couldn't tap back in.
Dream.
No, because I knew I had to wake up for work. So I kept being aware of that. But when I went back, it turned into my dad and my brother was there. And then it was like us. It was like almost us trying to, like, maybe, like, save our dad. There was something to it that was very interesting.
Who was the guy? Was your dad the guy?
He became the guy.
At
the beginning, it wasn't the guy.
Who was the dead body? Did you know?
Interesting.
Who was the dead body?
You know what? Maybe the dead body was my dad.
Whoa. Mm. Whoa. You unpack some trauma with this.
Or
dream.
Was the dead body?
I feel great. Whoa. I'm going to be good at stand-up now. I feel it. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, but I have like very few dreams that feel very real to me. That a lot of my dreams are like, that one really did. A lot of my dreams are like heist dreams, and if you interpret dreams, and it's flattering, put it in the comments. But my, it's like there's a drool in the middle of a city, and the city is a casino, the casino the size of a city, and I have to like get into the middle of the city and grab the drool and get out. And it was like this sacred thing I got to escape with. And it's so high adrenaline, and I love them. Anytime I'm like in that dream, I'm like...
It sounded like you watched that Zack Snyder zombie movie.
It's probably, yeah.
Do you ever get the jewel?
I always get the jewel. I get the jewel and I get out. But like the whole thing is just this epic movie. It's like a movie. It's like, it ends fine.
It sounds like if this is a recurring dream, it sounds like it's your brain trying to tell you something.
And I
you
know.
Should, you should I, write yeah. that movie.
Motherfucker.
Batman Begins.
Yeah, maybe that is an interesting thing.
Maybe the jewel represents something.
I also have this other dream that I think about a lot while we're on it. And if anyone wants to jump in with dreams, please tell them. But I had this dream where it was me and an old lady and a young woman. And the young woman was a romantic partner. And we're walking, and it's like these, it's like in Syria or Saudi Arabia. So it's like that style of thing.
Shout out, friend of the pod.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia.
R.I.P. Khashoggi. But we're
section of the podcast is brought to you by petroleum.
Yeah, that new soccer league.
The fuel and the jelly.
But so we're walking,
imagine being sponsored by petroleum jelly.
That would be pretty wild. KY?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You ever been ashier than a black guy's lips?
Oh my God.
Are we doing an ad read right now? What's going on?
I thought we were doing a fake ad read for petroleum jelly,
it's
dude. Friend
real.
Of the pod.
Yeah.
It's a new sponsor. Okay, so I'm on
guy's
this
like, yeah, I'm using it for that too. Totally.
I'm on this beach walk. I'm on this boardwalk. It's a boardwalk, and there's these like old like adobe kind of homes, old school homes, and there's a fortune teller, and she grabs my hands, and as soon as she grabs my hands to read my fortune, everything turns totally black, and it's just she and me, and she says, "You have the heart of seven." I can't believe I'm saying this story, but I've had this dream, and it was so real. You have the heart of seven, and it's a very strong sign, a very strong symbol. But it will create a lot of strife until it's mature. And then she releases my hand. And she had just read that other girl's palm and nothing like that happened. And so I'm in this thing and then I go out of it. And then we're like, oh, that was weird. And then there's a water park. I'm like, let's just go to the water park. We go to the water park and I'm standing in line to get up on this slide to slide into the ocean. And I'm like chatting it up with people. And as soon as I made eye contact, real eye contact with a person, their eyes turned black and they attacked me.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And I had to, so I'm like about to go down the slide. We're wrestling on the slide. We get into the water, wrestling, and I kill them. And then I like keep going and I'm like freaking the fuck out. I'm like, what's happening? And then I get to this junkyard and I'm panting. And there, it's like my brothers are there and their eyes start to turn black, and I fight them, but I don't kill them. I'm like, I don't want to, I can't kill my. And then I get to the end of this alley, and I'm back in the same alley where that lady read my fortune. I'm panting. And there's this really old woman, the one that started the dream with me, and she's there, and I'm like, oh my God, thank God you're here. Like, I am so scared. And I look up at her, and her eyes turn black, and she looks at me. And I wake up. Dude, that dream was, I had that dream in college, I think, when the first time I smoked pot, and I was like, this is radical.
It almost at
Black
first.
Black Mirror dream. That's an episode of Black Mirror.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
You should write that down. But at first.
But it feels like deeply symbolic, sorry. It feels deeply symbolic in a certain way that I can't fully understand.
At first, it sounded like the movie Holes. Yeah, because the desert, the old lady with the curse.
Oh, yes.
Right. Also, that's what a long recurring dream.
Huh?
That's a very long recurring. My recurring dreams like that are so.
I only had it once.
Oh,
you just remember
gotcha,
it.
Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha.
What I'm saying is like this dream that I had last night was like if it's a Richter scale of like magnitude, that one was like a 9.8. This was like a 4.4. You know what I'm saying? Like it still had that impact. It had a symbolic impact to me.
Yeah.
But I'm never afraid of them. I'm always like, what is that? Yeah. Like, I want to understand the subconscious of it.
Oh, I understand the subconscious of my recurring
you
dream.
You do?
Yeah, because my recurring dream is I'm gay. My recurring dream is I'm pooping in different bathrooms and a guy breaks in.
You're polyamorous.
I'm pooping in different bathrooms and the guy breaks in and stabs me.
You just keep having dreams about working at Lowe's?
No. I heard Jake tell his story about somebody stabbing him at the bottom of the slide, and now every time I poop, I think somebody stabs me. Yeah. And I think it's because I have a hemorrhoid.
Yeah, your subconscious is like...
Yeah, he'll get there to stab you and out. See blood, be like, oh, someone already come in here?
Oh, this seat tanking.
Do you have any weird dreams? You a dreamer?
You definitely have before.
How do you know?
Because everyone...
What's mine that I'm willing to say out loud?
Ooh. I said a wild one.
Yeah.
I was like, everyone wants to kill me.
Can't top that.
Maybe. It's usually me trying to find a place to go to the bathroom.
No way.
Yeah.
It's poop. It's poop.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe it's because did you need to poop when you had that dream?
It's possible. It's possible. Yeah. It's possible I needed to poop, so I was dreaming about pooping. And it's also possible that I had the hemorrhoid, and that's why my brain was like, you need to poop. And then my body was like, put the knife, put the pain.
Yeah. That's the part of Inception.
That's what I was like,
I
don't need anybody to interpret that one. I think I'm hitting the nail on the head.
Did either of you have trouble pooping?
No, I mean, I think I just needed to pee, and in the dream, I was trying to find a place to pee.
Oh,
I would do that.
I would do that. I would pee the bed. Uh-huh. I would pee the bed in that.
Oh yeah.
If you go pee in your dreams, you pee in real life.
Yeah. Never pee in your dreams, folks.
Never pee in your dreams.
When you pee in your dreams,
that's
you
the
pee
trick.
In real life.
Yeah, when you need to pee in your dreams, you just be like, I have to wake up.
It's like the Matrix.
One of the like reoccurring themes I've had before, I don't dream super much, but like I'm being chased.
Yeah.
I'm like always like running away.
Adrenaline,
from something or someone or a thing. Or I have these like really weird futuristic themes where it's like there's like spaceships and flying cars and like everything's made of glass.
But it's also still high stakes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you enjoy them or not enjoy them?
I like the futuristic, like, those ones are cool.
It's like a movie.
Yeah, but the ones where I'm being chased, I wake up like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, fascinating. Good. That's so interesting.
So this is a thing I heard, and I don't know if it's real or not. So if anyone knows if this is real or not, let me know. But so the bathroom dream and the being chased dream, I've heard this is a real thing. Mm-hmm. As soon as you realize you were dreaming and you're being chased, if to escape the dream... run into something really hard. So if you're being chased through the woods, aim right at a tree.
Mm. Oh. Mm.
Aim right at a tree in your dream because it will shock you awake.
You'll go a deeper level.
Because in your dream, you'll run into it. You won't feel it, but your body will react as if you're running face first into a tree.
I think I just fucked up dreaming for me when I was younger because at my youth group, we watched Insidious for church. For church. For church. We watched Insidious.
I bet your aunt was in on it. Yeah.
You will see what the devil's out here doing.
Dude, in the last podcast episode, she had this story about almost getting abducted, and I was convinced at least that her aunt was part of the con. Like, it was a big trick.
Trying to sell me.
Yeah, oh, so she made you watch Insidious at this church?
No, but the youth pastor did, and the whole, like, Bible study thing was supposed to be on, like, keeping doors closed that you aren't supposed to open.
Spiritual doors.
Yeah, spiritual doors, and I had never thought about, like, lucid dreaming or astral projection or anything like that until I saw this movie at church, and then I did, like, a deep dive, and I tried doing it, and I think I fucked some dream stuff up here.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, yeah, that's when I started doing... I have sleep paralysis attacks if I fall asleep on my back. Where it feels like there's, like, little demon people in the corner of the room. Mm. And then it feels like they're, like, choking me out. And then, like, I can't move, but, like, I'm aware I'm dreaming.
Do you believe in a... do you believe in a stronger, bright power? Like, a power that's above that darkness?
Yeah.
Do you... Like, because I think if you think about that part, it kind of, like... softens the intensity. Because I used to be terrified of demons. Like, when I was a kid, I watched Jeepers Creepers.
That movie fucked me up.
Dude,
as a
that
child.
Movie ruined me. But I would lay on... I was in a bunk bed, so I was very close to the ceiling. And we had a square cutout that was like... You had to lift it to move it to get into the attic. Mm. And maybe my stepdad was up there or something. But one night, and it was very soon after watching Jeepers Creepers, that square was rotated like 45 degrees. So there were these black... triangles into the attic, and I stared at it being like, what moved that and what's up there? And I petrified myself.
I'm
with that.
Kind of like that now, like, and there's plenty of people like that. Like, I can't sleep if the door is open, like a bedroom door or something.
Having a
like
pet
that
helps. Having a dog helps.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Having a dog,
because you always trust
helps.
It's like, if the dog knows the supernatural, he'll go vroom.
That's how I feel about my cats.
Yeah,
yeah, they'll,
it's good
they'll
to have
alert.
Something that yeah. But I had this experience where I was a camp counselor for like half a summer, and it was like this very spiritual, I was still very in the spiritual world, and I was talking to this girl who was like talking about like the demonic world, and I was like, nah, it's good, it's fine, it's fine, nothing. And then I was walking.
Did you
home.
Talk to her in demon? Did you say? Yeah. Yeah. a girl brought up demon. And you're like, ah.
Demons don't exist.
I realize now the act out didn't match. But I was like, I think it was like.
You fucking ruined that girl.
I think it's the chocolate in the back of my throat. But anyway, I was like, no, that's like, don't worry, it's fine. God loves you. And then I dropped her off at her cabin, and then I had to walk back to mine, and on the walk back, I was like, what the fuck? And then I remember having this experience where I was like, dude, if I really believe in God, I really believe it. Like, because to believe in the demons is to believe in God. Like, if you just believe in demons, that's fucked.
Yeah.
If you believe in the demons and you believe in God, it's like, well, then the God is going to be above it, so, mm-hmm. like, you can just relax.
Yeah. I'm aware of that. And especially now, but it's like when it's happening, it's very hard to think about that because all I can think about is I can't breathe.
Yeah.
Because like I can't.
It's a panic attack.
Yeah, yeah. Essentially, it's a panic attack while you're asleep.
I've had those before. Not while I'm asleep, but I've had.
But it feels, everything feels real. Like the little demon figures feel real. I'm really being choked.
Yeah.
Like it feels so real.
Do you think you're like, not to go so deep, but do you feel like you're reliving a trauma maybe, or like a,
could be
like a specific manifestation?
I mean, it could be. It started happening in my childhood right after my mom left, so maybe that's it.
9/11 too.
9/11, or also the fact that we watched Insidious inside a church. I mean, that's that's insane.
100%. 100%. That's what it was.
Yeah, talk about inviting the demons in, dude.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Kids shouldn't watch horror movies.
We did it at a church.
Yeah.
There was a cross behind the TV.
You watched it in the one place where, like, if this is real, I should be safe somewhere.
Yeah.
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 And I didn't feel
safe space.
It was like a challenge to the demons, and then you had to go home.
Yeah. And they were like, we're going to follow you.
Great. So, like a lot of other kids, you were abused in a church. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost in a worse way.
Yeah.
I would have rather been touched.
Yeah, for sure.
Which also explains the asexuality now. You didn't get touched when you wanted it, and now you don't want it.
Yeah, that is a...
Yes, some kids need to be touched. You know?
Yeah. Oh, by an angel. I mean, they need hugs.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Well, people die if they don't have contact. Isn't that fascinating? That, like, if you... They did that experiment in Nazi Germany where if you had a kid and you left him isolated and you only were interacting with him to feed him, but you didn't give him any warmth or contact, the baby would always die. And
how many babies did this take for them to realize this was true?
Well, I mean, it's Nazi Germany.
Yeah, I mean, they had a
They're
lot.
Like, that's not the least crazy thing we've heard all
there's
day.
One, true. Yeah. Yeah, there's one guy that got a grant, and he was like, just bring me the babies.
That's wild.
He didn't need a grant. They were just
so you're like, babies. Who's going to kill the babies? And they're like, we got a guy.
I want to know if love is real. Bring me some babies.
I make a joke. I know it is not.
He's like, I was not held either, so. he's like the Bane that lived.
Yeah. Yeah, no villain thinks they're the bad guy, so he's like, I'm saving you from life of mine.
But yeah, but that just goes to show you that that social cohesion and like the, I think about that a lot of like how our society is like kind of funky and that we're all isolated a little bit.
Yeah.
That's why comedy is kind of fun, is because there's like, it's this commingling of like this electric energy of anything might happen. Because you don't get that at a Kroger. No. Everyone's got their
headphones. You're going to the wrong Kroger, buddy.
It is the thing.
Gotta go to Aldi for that.
It is the thing about comedy that ended up being the best for me. Because, like, I got recommended by my therapist, like, basically given the homework assignment of try stand-up comedy.
That's a
comedy.
Good therapist to be like, you should...
Oh, that's how you got started?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So, basically, started... And, like, basically because it was, like, a creative exercise to help, like, basically... empty space in my brain.
Huh.
And then the thing that ended up being like the most helpful about doing comedy, which I think my therapist probably knew all along, was the camaraderie, like the having people, like having a group of people with a shared special interest.
Yes.
Mm. It reminds me, it's the closest I've felt to the camaraderie overseas in
war.
The military. And it brings, yeah. it's so comforting.
That's where I was getting.
Yeah.
Was like that feeling. It's the closest I've gotten to that feeling of being in the military. It's like, we all understand what it's like to be in these trenches.
It's all bombed together.
Yeah. But it's also just this shared performance of like everyone's going out there and being like, all right, I'm going to show them me.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not
the act together.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's not the exact same as being in the military, but it's like being like coworkers, like with Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like that camaraderie of like, we're all in this shitty bar together.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
someone's
going
to try to hit you.
For all of us, exactly. Somebody in here is going to try to hit one of us tonight, and we all got each other's back, right?
Yeah. Right?
Put the speedo on. Get on.
Just the speedo?
Yeah, it's like homoerotic, I'm picturing. It's like, we're all here, brother. Let me lube you up.
Give me the petroleum jelly.
The bull's kicking tonight.
How did you get started? What's your origin story?
I saw the Boston bombing, and I'm like, I must heal the country.
With more bombs.
We need more of this.
He saw you watched the Boston Marathon bombing and said, hold my beer.
I got some yuck yucks for you. No, I've always loved comedy since I was a kid. And so the Wise Guys Club in Utah, when I was in high school, they let all ages go in, and not just 21 and up. So I got to do stand up like 10 times in high school. They do.
No way.
Yeah, oh, that's open nice.
Yeah, it was cool. So
shout out two comics right now. One, Wise Guys in Salt Lake City. Do you know Rodney Norman?
Uh-huh.
Shout out Rodney Norman, one of the funniest people and one of the most like genuinely sweet and kind human beings of all time.
That such makes me happy you and him get along. He's a wild person.
I love Rodney to death. I have me and Jake have a sketch on my social media with Rodney because we were all in Boston around the same time. So he met us in Boston after a night where we had such a shitty show. talk about bombs. We just did a weekend in Detroit. We did three shows in Detroit. Sold out two of them, and the third show was really good, and then flew to Boston as part of this thing that was booked together, went and did a club in Boston, did a Sunday show, and 13 people showed up. We didn't cover the additional flights to Boston. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Rodney was in the area, met us, and came and did the show with us, and kind of made it better.
Yeah, he's a great
absolutely made not relaxed just the show, it. But made us feel better about the show. Yeah. And we had so much fun hanging out afterwards.
That's beautiful. That's
a
great.
Good hang after a bad show.
Yes.
It's good when you meet people that are capable of giving you that.
Yes. Yeah. But then also you were talking about doing comedy in high school, and there's a comic in Orlando, shout out Cap Wright, who started coming out to open mics and doing shows. Wherever he was allowed in, would come in and started doing comedy as a high schooler.
I guess that's kind of where I started.
I respect it.
I was in high school. I did it not on stage, but my friends would gather these people at UIL events or basketball tournament, anything. We'd gather people around and just in a small group, I would do little skits.
Really?
Oh, that's cool.
And then for my careers class in high school, comedian was on the list, and my teacher was like, "You can choose anything off this list." And I was like, "I'm gonna be a stand-up comedian."
Really?
Cool. Yeah. And she was like, "You can't do that," but she made me do a presentation over it, and it was just comedy. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And then I didn't touch it until 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never had a direct path to it. I loved public speaking and I loved performing. I did theater for my senior year of high school. I did a play, and the expression, the playful presentation.
What lady did you play?
Juliet.
All boys school.
Yeah. It was a one-man play. But the
have to kill himself twice. Spoiler alert. Sorry.
No, but whatever that was, awoke something in me. And then it was very quiet until I did an acting class. And I did the feeling of that and trying to embody something and whatever that feeling was. And then, directing the idea of, creating images and putting images forward. And then I started to, really study stand-up. And I was like, oh, that's the direct way of doing it. And then I did an open mic and I tried it. And I could feel that. Whatever that thing is where it's like the tapestry weaving itself as you're pressing in. And I was like, oh, I just want to do that. That feels good. And it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Getting laughs out of people is the best.
Yeah.
It teaches you.
I like doing stand up because it's it's the only time I don't feel pain because my body hurts most days always with all the back and the hips and the knees and the ankles shit. What's that fucking head, shoulders, knees, and toes?
Head, shoulders,
my
knees
brain
and
fucking
toes.
Mumbled the fuck out of that. Jesus. But
that's
when I'm
the test that they make sure that you're okay. Sing head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
Head, shoulders,
it's all fucked.
Yeah.
You're going to jail tonight.
But you're saying you're always in pain, and then you.
And when I'm on stage, I don't feel it. I feel normal. It's the only time I truly feel like normal. I don't feel pain. I feel it's
euphoric a little.
Yeah. So that's why I love doing it.
What about when you're bombing?
It's still, I'm not thinking, I'm not
your
actively
brain
thinking.
Disassociates from the physical.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not feeling the physical pain that I'm in. No matter how, if it's going
even
good or
bad.
Good
or bad, yeah. Adrenaline, probably.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
It is. That's, anytime someone's stand up is brave, I always feel the need to clarify, don't think that it's that. It's an addiction. It's an addiction to a feeling, and that feeling
demands
artistry.
Yeah, there's definitely a thrill seeker thing about
100%.
It.
100%.
Yeah.
But, you also, it's like riding a really good wave. It's like becoming a masterful surfer. It's like, I really do want to crush this. I want to get good at it. And you learn yourself. It's like a discipline back to yourself of what's worth saying? How do I learn what the audiences are. It's fascinating.
I love comedy.
I'm over it a little bit.
You're over it?
I'm done.
Are you done? No, you're not. Came here to
announce my retirement.
No, stop. Why don't you love it anymore?
It's dumb.
No, you're dumb.
No, you're dumb.
You're dumb.
You're not
dumb.
Don't
you like talking to
you're
people?
So good.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
Do you?
I think that's the main problem. I'm too good to quit. I'd quit. I'm done with this. What would you do instead? I'm over it.
What would you do instead?
Real estate, something.
Get out of here.
Oh, come on.
You would hate that.
Ugh.
You would. I can't imagine. You would self-destruct. You would be so
Make
bored.
Make up fun things about the house.
You just have 20 minutes on the house.
Yeah. Deceive people still.
Yeah. You know, Elvis Presley once nutted on this bed. We'll take it.
Start clapping.
Yeah, if you ended up in real estate, dude, you would one day you would sell someone a house and then like a brand new construction house and then haunt it before they move in.
Yeah, comes pre-haunted. That's the way you want
one
it.
Day one of them would, and that's why you can't do real estate.
Fast forward five.
That's why you can't do. Your brain knows that. I think all of us know that. I think there's like a certain level of like being a comedian. Like when you pass a certain threshold where you realize you're like, I can't go back to doing regular people shit anymore.
I'm already there. Yeah. I let go of my CDL by choice. That was my backup plan.
You also have like retirement already.
Well, that was before I had that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was, I had a day job still, and I was just like shitty line cook bullshit. And I had a CDL, but I needed to update my license. And I was like, you know what? No plan Bs. Give me the regular license. So yeah. I got rid of it.
Yeah.
And then things worked out. But I got rid of that safety net first.
Fascinating.
I mean, same.
Honestly, if you gave me,
I got
like,
rid of,
offered me 10
you know,
grand, I'd quit.
Indoor plumbing.
Say that. Maybe. What are you saying?
What?
That'd be fun.
No.
I'd consider it.
Because you're no. so... You're so.
I'm meaning to be dumb and joking. Just,
yeah, okay,
but
okay.
Yeah.
You'd love it though.
I appreciate you guys being like this though.
I want you to quit, like, but just not on our yeah. podcast.
Yeah.
I'm not meaning it. Yeah.
Come on.
You like it still,
dumb.
Or do
no?
You feel
I still
a little,
like it.
You're
yeah,
just
yeah.
being dumb and joking.
Yeah, I'm just being dumb and joking.
And we're just see? All a little high, and we're being all like, "No, buddy, don't
no,
do
this
it."
This isn't.
Yeah,
this
we're here.
This isn't a cry for help.
People get burnt out though. People do get burnt out. Like they get to this like stage where they're like very disillusioned, and they don't enjoy it anymore. Like, so that's like a real feeling.
I try to like remind myself of that, especially on like the days where it's hard or I'm just having a bad day, where it's like, dude. Me as a kid, looking at where I'm at now, would be so thrilled that I even tried.
Yeah,
dude, there's stuff like that that like humbles me and like also fucks me up a little bit, like emotionally, like even now. Like, because you don't realize like when you've been in it for a long time, like you get like you like things become normal to you.
Yes.
And then something happens and then somebody like messages you and you're like, oh, that's because that's not normal.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And so there's stuff where like I'll post or I'll do something and my sister will send me a message and be like, I'm so proud of you. Like this thing is so amazing. And it's like, oh yeah, what I just did isn't a normal thing that people do.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that implies its own anxiety of like to really pursue something publicly, especially like everyone's watching you try and people have preconceived notions about it on both sides. That's just a lot. But that's not why. And you're saying you're joking. You're saying
yeah. I'm
okay.
not quitting.
Okay.
I'm
you better fucking not. I'll kill you if you quit. I swear to God.
You'll
I'll
be performing
you.
With the ghost if you quit.
If you want to be a good father to your family, you better keep in it.
That's got to be kind of cool. Like, is it cool like traveling with like me or Thomason? Because we're both so new. So like, there's certain things we get like we're like, oh my God, we get to do this. And then,
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Because something might feel old to you, but it's new to us.
Too young. I really feel that way.
Yeah. You're like our big comedy brother.
What was the latest thing you were in shock and awe about?
The fucking Fort Wayne. First off, it was just cool getting to host and do that and then meet Jay.
Yeah.
Jay, that was fucking dream. And then, like, I got put up in this nice hotel and I got paid to do comedy. And it was like my first weekend, like at a club. And I know I was just hosting, but I was like, dude, this is so cool. We're in like the green room. I got candy. There's candy here.
That's a good green room for sure too.
Yeah.
Summit City. Yeah. Shout out Summit City. That place fucking rips. The staff there is so amazing.
And that Summit City is where, that's where we like released the special, was from the set. One of the sets from Summit City. It was an incredible weekend. It was just like when I posted the clips, because Sydney came, like filmed, hosted, and then like the footage from her camera, when we were looking at it, was like, this looks so good. Those shows were so much fun. And when I posted the first like two reels I posted from that footage, went like super viral, like my most popular videos of all time ever. Like one of the reels on Facebook has over 12 million views. So, and then the next one I posted also did like multiple millions of views. So I was like, okay, when I posted the third one, I was like, if this does a million, I'm just going to put out the whole set. Like I have to. You know what I mean? Like the algorithm gods are telling me it's time. Do you know what I mean? I was like, okay. It's time.
Yeah, you're definitely riding a wave right now.
So it's not like my real special is still being edited, and then it's like we have like a plan for distribution for it. So it's, I feel like a rapper who has like an album that's like being released coming up, and so I just put out a mixtape.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and it's like, all right, there's like three songs from the album on the mixtape. But those songs are mastered and like mixed differently on the album.
The remix, dog. And you know what? If you're listening to this album, you should go check out that album and like share AJ Special. Yeah. Let's get that fucking. Let's crank it.
Yeah. This was like the live album recording of an album that hasn't even been released.
The B side.
It was a good set. I listened to it on the way here. It's really good.
Dude, it was so much fun.
That set you had on Friday, it was so, you were just like in the pocket. Oh, yeah. Me and Jake could tell you were in the pocket on stage. We were just sitting back watching. I got a little teary eyed. It was really cool. Yeah, it was just.
That was my actual headline set. Oh, yeah. I only had one actual headline set. I was featuring the whole weekend.
Oh, really?
So I filmed a feature set.
You brought these bing bongs with you?
Yeah. Thomas didn't go. We'll lose it. He's coming with us to Texas, though.
For the diner.
He is coming with us to Texas, so now is a good time to go ahead and plug those dates. Upcoming dates, April 18th, Dallas, Texas. April 19th, San Antonio, Texas. Two shows. The early show is getting close to selling out, so get those tickets fast. April 20th, 420, Oklahoma City, the Pharmacy Dispensary. 421, Nashville, Tennessee, right here. The Lab at Zany's, the brand new room that opens April 10th. April 21st, Nashville Comedy Festival. Me and Jake are doing our live crowd work Shake and Jake show in that room. And again, tickets are going hella fast. All of my tickets are going fast. Then 424, Zany Chicago, May 3rd, Gig Harbor, Washington, May the 4th be with us in Portland, Oregon at Rip City Comedy Festival. That show, general admission tickets already sold out. They added 25 more, so there are less than 25 general admission tickets left. And then after that, the only tickets left are the VIP tickets, but the VIP tickets give you passes for the entire weekend of the festival. So get those tickets now. Also just added June 27th, 28th, 29th, Tulsa, Oklahoma at Looney Bin. Fuck. April 27th through 29th, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Looney Bin Comedy Club. Get your tickets, ajwilkerson.com.
Grandpa Bar every Friday in Nashville, 6 p.m.
Be there.
And,
dude, I'm fucking ripped, dog.
These... drinks
when
are
insane.
We started
insane. Talking about our dream worlds, I realized I was gone. I was like, why am I telling my secrets?
Learned a lot about your dad.
Where are the bodies, Garth?
Where are the bodies, Garth?
Yeah, I should have said it was Garth Brooks. Wasn't a stranger. Yeah.
No, Garth Brooks was standing over the body in your dream.
He's just singing.
Garth Brooks was the man.
Yeah. God, I'm so high.
He's such a sweetheart. He was such a sweetheart.
Yeah, I was trying to read it earlier.
10 milligrams THC.
I need nicotine to level me out.
But I can't really read.
Are you feeling okay? Are you quitting comedy or is that?
Yeah. I got so high I quit comedy.
What's the highest you've ever been?
Last night or the other night?
Yeah, I was pretty ripped.
Walk us through that. What happened? What happened? You don't got to, but.
I mean,
I'm into it.
I'd been inhaling a lot of stuff and.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
Girl.
Got really high and was very self-conscious about myself.
I hate when that happens when you become aware.
How often are you self-conscious?
What's that supposed to mean?
I just mean like you seem very even keel.
Me?
Isn't that crazy how we perceive ourselves and how we're perceived?
Dude, I'm in my head all the time.
Really? Really?
Yeah, especially out in public. I'm like, oh no, I'm not acting normal. Oh, I said that.
My roommate is an actor who's like very good, and he's been like kind of picked up, and he's going. And I remember when I first met him, we were talking, and he talked about that he would have this period of time where he was deeply self-conscious about his body movements, how he would reach for a cup and put it into the soda machine. And that self,
I'm like that all the time.
Yeah, but it's a phase, I think.
Tell him welcome to the club.
Yeah.
One of us.
But you know, like I feel like there's a period of our lives where we become deeply introspective, and then you finally look at it and you go, that's enough. Like,
I think I think you might
to
be
stare
right.
Stare at it the whole time.
I kinda had that. We went out on a hike today. By this ag center up the road, really pretty. Just I was like, we need to fucking get some nature time in. Both of us have been so technology, social media. Let's get some nature in. And I remember driving like on the way back home, I was just watching the sun, and I was like, just let it go. Nothing matters.
Yeah,
let it go. Who
cares? Nature does that.
So I feel a little like fuck it today.
Yeah, that's good. I can tell.
You can tell. I'm feeling a little
that ruddy little nature look to you. This bitch been hiking.
This bitch been in the woods.
She stepped in the daylight for more than 15 seconds. Nice.
It fixed everything.
Yeah. It did. It really. I felt it. I was
spring,
just like,
it's spring.
It did feel really good, and I like even like physically, and like we talked about like. So you guys know, get a little how the sausage was made. We recorded a podcast earlier. This is like our second of a back-to-back. And like, it's exhausting, like mentally exhausting to podcast like that. But I don't feel as bad as I did the last time we did this.
Yeah, I think because
we got outside and got some sun and
that's kind
moved
of
around today.
That was kind of my thought. Was like, we need some energy if we're going to do two eppies tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smart. There's a
do you know how much energy it takes to do an EpiPen?
Dude, are we doing EpiPens tonight?
Dude, let's do it.
Bring it out. I feel like there's almost like this Spartan-like thing to where it's like you just want to be healthy so you can sustain like what it takes to do all this shit.
It's why I lost, like people have been commenting on my social media, like on stuff I post, and they're like, damn, you lost a bunch of weight. And it's like, yeah, because I've been trying to take like slightly better care of myself because everything else in my life is brutal.
Are there any wings down in the fridge anymore?
There are some wings down there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be eating more than that later.
Yeah, there's some wings.
She eats ass. I forget. You guys know that about her. She eats butt.
Well, I did not. Yeah.
I have before.
Wow.
It was clean.
Yeah, as clean as an asshole can be. I do not get it. I remember going on stage one time after someone had 5 minutes on ass eating, and I was like, where are we as a society? Yeah. How are we talking about this?
Yeah.
This God's
it's
no,
true.
No.
Like, best case scenario, you're licking a freshly wiped, clean nozzle of a septic tank truck.
Yes, 100%. All of science says don't
touch that. You haven't seen
that.
The things she's seen, okay?
I fell in a fucking porta potty. You think I got a little?
Things that she's
that's probably where
that's
you got
right.
the fetish.
I fell in.
I fell in
a shitter.
I've licked a butter too. I've licked one.
I mean, I'm not saying I haven't, but it's like it was accidental, maybe.
It's also I'm a people pleaser in recovery. So like when I was with someone, if they're like, "Hey, I want to do this," I'd be like, "Okay, I guess. Give me the strap on."
Oh my god, get the gas mask. that's intense.
Let me go grab my fake tongue. What?
Just role playing Guantanamo Bay.
It's just my cat.
All right, I'll be prisoner, you be guard. Tell me your secret.
You're never getting out of here. End up waterboarding each other.
Yeah. I heard recently a story about a guy who would waterboard his romantic partners. It was like part of their foreplay. He would actually waterboard them.
You read about this?
I mean,
I didn't go deep. I went as deep in it as she did about that fucking thing she talked about earlier, which was 100% not deep. The P. Diddy case. Oh my God. You all you knew was P. Diddy something.
Yeah, you guys heard about the P. Diddy stuff? Let me explain. P. Diddy?
I went really deep on this
did
today.
Some stuff.
All right, but yes, no, I didn't read deep on it. But he likes to waterboard his partners. Isn't that so dark? If I ever met a lady, no matter how hot she was like, here's my kink. I'm like, I need to go. There needs to be a website for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to go to see a therapist for that one.
I think I left my stove on.
There's just boiling water and there's rags beside it. It's a little podcast ritual.
Boiling rags? Is it for the ghosts?
Yeah. It is for the ghosts. The spirits like it.
Well, we're going to finally end your comedy career this year.
Finally.
We're going to burn your face with some hot rags.
We're so hot.
You'll never recover.
I'd get on America's Got Talent so quick.
Oh my God. If you were like scarred?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a privilege.
Yeah. Dude. They scoped your boy out.
I'm
not gonna lie. They emailed the kid.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Got a couple emails from a couple AGT accounts.
I saw this I think it's a video. It's part of a video. Oh my God. There's this show a movie called Baraka. It's like a. Have you seen?
It's Baraka? About Barack Obama.
I thought. I was very confused. There's no black people. No, but it's a montage of like these really intense clips of like all of humanity. It's like cataclysmic waterfalls and lava blasts and tribes doing these weird tribal
and
dances.
Nuclear bombs going off and the whole
yes it's all of that shit and I forgot what I was saying. What were we just saying? Because it ties in so directly.
You're talking about reading.
No What'd you say?
What did I say?
You said something.
I don't know. I think I was in the
America's
middle of something.
America's Got Talent. Oh, yeah. Scars.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Scars. Okay.
So one of the scenes, like it's walking you through. So mind
not
you,
only does he not know where his story's going, he has to remember.
No,
how
I know
he got there.
No, I got it. I know exactly what's going through. Right. So there was this movie or whatever. I watched it when I was on acid, and it's just scene after scene after scene, and it's like. Bunch of chickens being massacred and polar bears starving, and then all of a sudden it's like North Korea. Like it's just a random, and then all of a sudden it shows a war soldier in full get up gear standing outside a funeral in full salute, and his face is burnt to a fucking crisp, has no eyes, no nose or mouth. He's just standing there locked in like service to this thing, and that thing took everything from him. Isn't that insane?
Mm-hmm. What movie is it?
Baraka,
okay.
Yeah, it's a very intense movie. Mm.
Doesn't sound like it has a narrative.
No narrative.
Just
black and white?
Traumatic stuff?
No, just very majestic, high-quality footage montage. Worth watching, I would say. Like, worth watching.
Sounding a little Clockwork Orange to me.
No, it's kind of like a beautiful, tragic thing. It's you're just seeing all of it. It's like a projector reel of just humanity just splashing in your face. Mm. And at the end, you're like, I'm going to call my parents.
While I jerk off.
That's during the movie. I found myself, mama.
That chicken stuff really gets him going. I know nothing about
Thomas. Dude, it was, God. Yeah, it's probably what Jimmy watched to become vegan.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was made the case. Made the case.
What were you going to say?
It was like a lifetime ago.
Really? That wasn't that long ago.
I don't even remember.
Dude. I've just been in a loop.
Last half of this podcast is just going to be, what did you say? Where are we going?
Brought to you by Liquid Drip.
How long have we been going?
Liquid drip.
It's tomorrow.
My brain feels drippy.
It's tomorrow.
Is it really tomorrow?
No, what? It's 11:05.
Oh, okay. We're, well,
but I really don't know how long
we've
been
going.
Let's
do another good riff. Let's find a good riff. We'll just sit, we'll cook, we'll bake, we'll find one more good riff and close it out.
Would you guys burn my face? Oh, I don't want to interrupt.
No. Go ahead.
Burn my face for comedy?
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
I would do anything for you, brother.
What? You got some hot rags going, right?
Yeah.
I'll only do it if you don't quit comedy.
Okay, yeah, that's part of it.
I will horribly disfigure your face, but only if you continue.
Okay.
Okay.
Deal.
Yeah.
Okay,
deal. 100%.
Deal.
You should quit. Good. It's come to that.
You like the face more than the jokes?
Oh, you're handsome, man. You can play. I would love. Okay, typecast. That's a fun game. What is your typecast? If you're playing, I could see you being like a...
pedophile. What?
No. I mean, I could kind
of. Dude, SVU, little dung dung.
Yeah.
Donna, what's the theme music?
I've been on multiple episodes. I don't even know. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
It's just Chris Hansen.
Yeah.
Someone had that joke. I forget the joke, but it was basically about like if every reality show ended, it was a porno. So they have to fuck, and so she's Chris Hansen with a pedophile. He's like, you know why you're here, brother.
No, I think you'd have some range. I think you have range.
He could be a good, like a really unassuming villain a little bit.
Yeah,
like
I think
a
I'd be a good villain.
Yeah.
I would love to see you as a villain.
You'd also be very good as like a like an angry boss.
Like the dude
in suits.
The straight guy. You could play a straight guy very well.
I see against the comedy.
Yeah.
I see quirky neighbor.
Oh, okay.
Quirky or next door neighbor.
Dad. Good dad. Thoughtful dad.
Oh,
Best friend to romantic lead?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
I can get down with
quote
that.
Quote unquote schlubby friend.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. Man, I'm so schlubby.
Oh, dude, I want to live in schlubby. I want to live in schlubby friend in comedy movies.
Yeah.
Schlub factor is great. Yeah.
Can we define that?
So it's the guy who's like slightly disheveled and less handsome than the lead star.
Yeah, it is
as much as I think he's super attractive, but it is Jake Johnson's character in the Ashton Kutcher, Natalie Portman, No Strings Attached.
Oh, yeah.
Like Jake Johnson is the best friend to Ashton Kutcher. Jake Johnson is a handsome, attractive dude, but he's no Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
What is the archetype of McLovin in Superbad?
Ooh. I don't know, but you fit it.
I kind of saw it a little bit.
What about?
No, you fit like a Dave Franco. You're like young, handsome. Like you can play comedy, but you could also probably play serious pretty well.
I think I do play serious. Yeah.
I think you're a little Dave Franco. I
want to try comedy sketches where, like, the straight man a little bit, where you're responding to the weird world around you. Mm. I like that, and I think you do that very well.
Mm. Oh, thanks.
Where you're just like, what the
fuck? What would you typecast me as?
I could see you being like a roommate, or
an extra. Background
PE coach.
PE coach for sure. Or like a camp person.
Oh, camp counselor.
Or a ropes course gal.
At least I'm not the fucking bus driver.
Or a mechanic. Oh, you could be a mechanic.
Yeah. Mercenary type. You could probably pull like mercenary type off.
I like that one.
Mercenary?
Yeah. Yeah. Like when they show like the montage of like soldiers like loading guns packing gear and stuff.
What is the one that shoots the big ballistics? What is that called?
Field artillery.
Yeah.
That's what I was
just
attached to in the
shells,
army.
Really?
Yeah.
Field artillery. 1/6 Eileen Wuornos.
Huh?
Oh man, that was brutal. She's a serial killer. The Charlize Theron played her.
Oh. Hold it up.
God damn it.
Monster? Is that the movie?
Oh, yeah. It's such a good roast, too, and somebody else has to explain how you were just roasted.
Oh, fucking God.
You look like the ugliest serial killer of all time.
I think I'm going to quit, guys.
Let's do
you
it.
You look like the furthest Charlize would go.
You're very pretty, by the way.
No, I'm not.
You really are.
I will never see myself as pretty.
And that's why
you're
that's
both
part
a, you're
of
both,
it.
You're both a very attractive person and Rosie O'Donnell's.
Yes. Yeah. You are the duality of woman, really.
I am she and she is her. And I am her.
And we can't read.
Or talk. Or hear.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, you play like the quirky, like it's almost Bill Murray a little bit. Like a chaotic kind of like a oddity. Kind of like
I like that.
Random.
I like that analogy. I think like Taika Waititi.
Forrest Gump.
The cornerback?
No. Taika Waititi, the New Zealand director / actor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dude, what is it? Our Flag Means Death and like Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, yeah.
That
and
ripped.
He does the voice of like the rock monster dude in Thor that's like, piss off, ghost.
Piss off.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah.
Gronk, what's his
name? I think he did Love and Thunder though, not Ragnarok.
He did both.
Oh, he did. Mm-hmm. Ragnarok was so serious.
Ragnarok was so much fun.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Both of those.
He also does the television version of What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, which so fucking good.
So funny. Have you seen Our Flag Means Death? Have you seen Our Flag Means Death?
No.
I need to watch What We Do in the Shadows every day.
Too. I love that movie.
Dude.
Free Palestine.
No.
It's all around us.
That's all I think about.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, Our Flag Means Death.
No, Our Flag Means Death. It's on Max. It's on HBO. There's like two seasons of it so far. But it's like a pirate show comedy. But it's Taika Waititi and the British guy whose name I can never remember, but as soon as you see him you'll recognize him. He's super funny.
We should do a spoof where it's just the U.S. vetoing a peace agreement between Israel and Palestine.
It should be them trying to negotiate a peace treaty while the U.S. is sitting over the corner and be like, I heard he's called your mom a bitch.
Yeah, just talking mad shit, stirring it up.
Available everywhere
and
on
standing
all channels.
Standing like behind Israel's shoulder, like doing like this at Palestine.
Yeah. God, there's so many good ideas. I have this sketch idea.
Goodness.
I brought this up in the other episode, but tell me what you think about this. It's a sketch. Should you say the sketch is online? It doesn't matter. We're gonna make it anyway. But it's called Hood Therapy, and it's like Paula and John are in kind of a bit of a scuffle, and Josh Black is right beside him, and he goes, hey, calm down. He goes, I know a guy that can help you guys with your relationship problems. And they go, really? And he goes, yeah, he's a really hood therapist. And they're like, what? And then it cuts to them going into a therapy session with Belly Button. Just being how he is.
So the idea is just that let Belly Button loose. Yeah. Let him loose on the
hood
world.
Therapy.
Yeah.
Hey, Belly Button.
Like,
tell them
Here's
why they're bitches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell them why they're being bitches.
Like, man, you a bitch. We're going to film it. I see it so clearly. Sketches. You want to do sketches?
Oh, yeah.
I want to do sketches so bad. Let's go.
Let's do it.
I want to start doing like a regular weekly or like weekly writing thing.
That'd be fun.
Like, let's do like a back-to-back weekly. Let's write some stand-up. Let's write some sketches.
That'd be so much
fun.
Vice versa.
Yeah.
Tuesdays.
All right.
Tardy Tuesdays,
baby. Dude, what if we did sketches, writing, podcast, show at the end?
Show at the lab.
And you just...
I want to start like a regular Tuesday late night show called Tardy Tuesdays.
That's funny.
Why not?
Great.
Do it with us.
Yeah.
I would love to.
Whoever the guest is, they do it.
If I haven't quit by then, I'll definitely do it.
No, that's going to make you quit.
Yeah, we should roll it up.
I'm so hungry.
Yes, I'm starving. I do have some leftovers down there, but I could be enticed to order something else.
Yeah, you want to get something else?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then that way Thomas can have some leftovers.
Thank you, guys.
Thomas can have some wings, and I've got some like some lamb.
When I look back on my career,
lamb.
This is going to be the age of leftovers. Both romantically and nutritionally.
Just scraps.
That's going to be the name of my special.
There you go.
Scraps.
Just scraps.
I was born a poor black.
Just for scraps.
Just for scraps.
Oh, Alex Valuto.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, you got anything so you want to plug?
Check out my special on the Dry Bar Comedy YouTube page. Follow me on my page at A Valuto on Instagram, at Alex Valuto everywhere else.
Yes. Give him a follow. Check out his special on YouTube. The Big Gulp Kid, Alex Valuto, V-E-L-L-U-T-O.
You got it. Nailed it.
Liquid Drip.
Yeah, go follow him.
These liquid drips are, I'm fucked up. I'm digging these a lot.
I'm fucking high, dog. I'm so high. Go fucking follow Alex Valuto so he doesn't have to perform for Ghost ever again.
Friend of the pod, Liquid Drips.
Yeah. Goodbye.
I'm drippy after that.
I feel good.
Oh, I mean, I feel good. Yeah, of course I'm wet. You told me, you said you compared me to Rosie O'Donnell. Of course I'm wet.
No, I said you are both an attractive person and Rosie O'Donnell's last call.
What's last call mean?
Meaning like last person she would call at like two, like at, in a booty call situation. You're both an attractive person and Rosie O'Donnell. That's hilarious. You guys just started laughing when I said Rosie O'Donnell.
Well, yeah, because it was. When I had my head shaved, I like hair shorter. Mm-hmm. I got the like
you. You had
like
a Rosie.
Yeah, you look like Rosie O'Donnell, and it stuck with me. So that was funny.
Kind of a little.
What in tarnation?